Hi, I'm Aylin. At 67, I never thought I'd be burying my grandson before my own daughter. But life has a way of throwing curveballs when you least expect them. The house feels emptier now without Marcus stopping by every Sunday with bagels and that fancy coffee he knew I secretly loved. Just 3 weeks ago, we were sitting on my porch swing planning his 29th birthday. Grandma, the company's taking off. I want to take you to Italy next summer like you always wanted. You focus on your business, sweetheart. I've waited 67 years for Italy. I can wait a bit longer. Then the call came at 2 a.m. Car accident, internal bleeding. By the time I got to the hospital, he was gone. I still remember the day Vanessa dropped off 8-year-old Marcus with a duffel bag and empty promises. Just for a weekend, Mom. I need to sort some things out with Derek. That weekend turned into weeks. Then months. The phone calls stopped. Marcus would stand by the window every Friday afternoon. Is Mom coming today? My heart broke a little more each time I had to say, "Not today, honey." Raising a boy at 47 wasn't in my retirement plans, but we made it work. I picked up extra shifts at the medical billing office. We clipped coupons together on Thursdays. Marcus never complained, even when the other kids had newer shoes or fancier backpacks. "Grandma, you're better than any mom anyway," he'd say, helping me with dinner. By 13, that boy could make a lasagna that would make Italians weep. When he got that scholarship to state, I thought I might burst with pride. Then his tech startup took off 3 years ago. Suddenly, my brilliant boy was buying me a new refrigerator. "Because this one makes weird noises, Grandma," and setting up automatic bill payments for my utilities. Yesterday, the certified letter arrived. James Wilson, attorney at law, requesting my presence for the reading of Marcus's will. "You doing okay over there?" my neighbor Eleanor called over the fence as I stood frozen in the driveway, letter in hand. Marcus had a will. I didn't even know he had a will. Eleanor climbed over the fence despite her bad hip. "Of course he did. That boy had his head on straight, always thinking of you. What if he has family I don't know about? A girlfriend? Someone who should get his things? Don't be ridiculous. You were his family. The only one who stayed." I didn't tell Eleanor about the text I'd received this morning, from a number I hadn't seen in 20 years. "Mom, I heard about Marcus. I'm so sorry. I'll see you at the lawyer's office tomorrow." After all this time, Vanessa was coming back. Just in time for the money, but too late for her son. Eleanor insisted on driving me to the law office, claiming my hands were too shaky for the wheel. She wasn't wrong. The text from Vanessa had turned my stomach into knots. "What are you going to say to her?" Eleanor asked as we pulled into the parking lot of Wilson and Associates. "Honestly, I have no idea. 20 years of silence and now she shows up? I just want to get through this without making a scene that would disappoint Marcus." The receptionist led us into a conference room where a young man in an expensive suit stood looking out the window. He turned when we entered, his eyes red-rimmed. "Mrs. Aylin Davis? I'm Trevor Chen, Marcus's business partner. Marcus talked about you all the time, said you were the brains behind the operation." "And he was the heart. Without him..." Trevor's voice cracked. "Sorry, it's still fresh." The door opened again, and my breath caught in my throat. Vanessa stood there, her blonde hair now streaked with gray, but her face still holding that same defiant expression she'd worn when dropping off Marcus 20 years ago. "Mom!" She nodded like we'd seen each other yesterday. "Vanessa." I couldn't manage more than her name.
"You look...
well?" She glanced around the room, not quite meeting my eyes. "Wish I could say the same, but I don't know how you look when you're grieving a son you abandoned." Eleanor squeezed my arm. "Easy now." Attorney Wilson entered with a portfolio. "Thank you all for coming. I know this is a difficult time." We took our seats around the table. Vanessa chose the chair directly across from me, studying me with calculating eyes. "As Marcus Davis's executor, I'll now read his last will and testament, prepared 6 months ago." Attorney Wilson adjusted his glasses. "I, Marcus Alexander Davis, being of sound mind, hereby bequeath all my worldly possessions, including but not limited to my financial assets, real estate holdings, and my 67% share in Horizon Tech Solutions to my grandmother, Aylin Marie Davis, who raised me, supported me, and showed me unconditional love when others would not. The room went silent. Vanessa's face flushed red. That can't be right. I'm his mother, his only living parent. Biologically, maybe. The words escaped before I could stop them. Attorney Wilson, there must be some mistake. Vanessa leaned forward. I have rights. The will is quite clear, Miss Davis. Marcus was explicit in his wishes. This is ridiculous! She poisoned him against me. Poisoned him? You left him crying at the window for months, years. Trevor cleared his throat. Actually, Vanessa, Marcus told me about your call last Christmas. Vanessa froze. What call? I asked. When she found out about our company's valuation in Tech Monthly, she called asking for a family loan of $50,000. Marcus declined. Is that true? I stared at Vanessa. He owed me. I gave birth to him. And then what? You gave up every right when you walked away. While you were out living your life, I was working overtime to buy his asthma medication. I was at every parent-teacher conference, every doctor's appointment, every nightmare at 3 a.m. He was my son. No, he was your child. He was my son in every way that matters. The very next morning, Attorney Wilson called with news that made my blood boil. Vanessa has filed a formal contest to the will. She's claiming you deliberately kept Marcus from having a relationship with her.
She's what? That's complete garbage. She's alleging you manipulated him into cutting her out, and that as his biological mother, she has rightful claim to at least half his estate. I slammed my coffee mug down so hard it cracked. That woman has some nerve. Eleanor came over with a folder of old photos after I called her in tears. We need evidence, concrete stuff to show that deadbeat took off voluntarily. What kind of evidence survives 20 years? More than you think. You kept everything related to Marcus, remember? School records showing you as guardian, birthday cards, those pitiful Christmas checks she sent for 3 years before disappearing completely? We spent hours digging through boxes in my attic. Eleanor found the notebook where I'd documented every call and visit Vanessa had promised and broken. Look at this. She called Christmas 2004, saying she'd be here the next day. Then nothing for 6 months. My phone rang. It was Trevor. Aylin, you won't believe what I found. Vanessa didn't just contact Marcus at Christmas. There were multiple emails dating back 2 years, all asking for money. Different excuses each time. Medical bills, eviction notices, car repairs. Did he ever give her anything? Once? $10,000 3 years ago. Then he discovered she'd used it for a Bahamas cruise. He blocked her after that. Can you send me copies of everything? Already on it. But that's not all. She's been posting on social media claiming you kept Marcus from her, that she tried repeatedly to reconnect, but you poisoned him against her. I felt sick. How many people believe her? Plenty, unfortunately. She's playing the grieving mother role pretty convincingly. That Sunday was Marcus's memorial service. I'd barely slept, dreading the confrontation that was inevitable. When I arrived at the community center, I froze in the doorway. Vanessa stood by Marcus's photo display, dabbing at dry eyes with a tissue, accepting condolences from people who had never met her. It was just so hard being kept away from my precious boy, I overheard her telling Marcus's college roommate. But a mother's love never dies. Eleanor gripped my arm. Don't make a scene. Not here. Not what he would want. She's rewriting history right in front of everyone. And we'll set the record straight in court. Trust me. I approached the display, standing directly beside Vanessa. She stiffened. Quite a performance. I'm mourning my son. Funny how your motherly instincts kicked in right when his bank account hit 7 figures. A few heads turned our way. Vanessa lowered her voice. You're making a mistake fighting me on this. I can make things very messy for you. Is that a threat? It's a promise. I'm his mother. Blood matters. So does abandonment. I've got 20 years of evidence saying you didn't give a damn about him until you needed cash. Trevor appeared with a thin brunette woman I didn't recognize.
Aylin, this is Melissa from our legal team. She has some thoughts about Vanessa's case. Later, in a quiet corner, Melissa laid out our strategy. We'll request a formal hearing. Present the documentation of abandonment, the financial solicitations, everything. But most importantly, we have Marcus's own words.
What do you mean?
He recorded a video statement when he updated his will, explaining exactly why he was leaving everything to you and nothing to Vanessa. It's devastating, and it's admissible. For the first time since the funeral, I felt a flicker of hope. Marcus was still looking out for me, even now. The courtroom felt smaller than I expected on the day of the hearing. Vanessa sat across the aisle with a slick-looking attorney who kept whispering in her ear. Eleanor squeezed my hand as Judge Patterson entered. All rise. Court is now in session. Vanessa's lawyer went first, spinning a tale about a poor mother kept from her child by a controlling grandmother. I bit my tongue until it nearly bled. My client simply wants what any mother deserves, recognition of her biological connection and rights to her son's estate. When my turn came, Melissa guided me through our evidence methodically. I placed the school registration forms on the display easel. This is from 2005. Note the emergency contact section, blank where a mother's name should be. Vanessa couldn't even be bothered to leave a phone number. Next came the notebook. I documented every broken promise. March 12, 2006. Coming for your birthday, buddy. She never showed. June 30th, 2007. Summer vacation together, just you and me. Another no-show. Vanessa shifted uncomfortably in her seat. And these? Melissa handed me a stack of envelopes. Birthday cards. 3 years worth, then nothing. The last one when Marcus was 11? Vanessa jumped up. This is ridiculous. I tried to stay in touch. Miss Davis, you'll have your chance to respond, Judge Patterson warned. Trevor took the stand next, presenting printed emails. These are communications from Vanessa to Marcus beginning in 2022, shortly after our company was featured in Tech Monthly. Each one asks for money. Did Mr. Davis ever discuss these communications with you?
Yes, he was upset.
Said it was typical that she only reached out when she wanted something.
Objection! Hearsay! Vanessa's attorney barked. Your Honor, we have more than hearsay.
Melissa approached with a laptop.
We have Marcus himself.
The courtroom fell silent as Marcus's face appeared on the screen. My heart nearly stopped seeing him alive again, sitting in his office, looking directly into the camera.
This is my video statement regarding my will. I'm leaving everything to my grandmother, Aylin Davis. She's the only parent I've ever really had. My biological mother, Vanessa, abandoned me when I was 8. When she contacted me recently, it wasn't to reconnect. It was for money. I gave her some once, hoping maybe there was something genuine there. I discovered she used it for a vacation while telling me it was for medical bills. That was the final straw. Grandma was there for every skinned knee, every school play, every heartbreak. She worked 2 jobs to put me through college before I got scholarships. Family isn't about blood. It's about who shows up. Grandma showed up every single day of my life.
Tears streamed down my face. Even Judge Patterson looked moved. I've heard enough, she said after Vanessa's weak rebuttal. The court finds in favor of Aylin Davis. The will stands as written. Outside the courthouse, Vanessa faced a small crowd of Marcus's friends and colleagues who'd come to support me.
You're nothing but a gold digger, Trevor told her as cameras from the local news rolled.
You should be ashamed. 2 weeks later, I signed the paperwork establishing the Marcus Davis Technology Scholarship for underprivileged kids. The first recipient was a brilliant 16-year-old being raised by his grandfather. Vanessa texted once more.
Mom, can we talk?
I'm sorry how things turned out. I blocked her number without responding. Some bridges stay burned. Marcus gave me not just his legacy, but the strength to finally close that door for good. Blood doesn't make family. Love does. And some people don't deserve either. What would you have done in Aylin's position? Would you have blocked Vanessa completely after her final apology text? Or would you have given her one last chance to explain herself after 20 years of abandonment? Is there ever a point where toxic family members deserve to be permanently cut off? Or should we always leave the door open for reconciliation? Share your thoughts in the comments below.
If you enjoyed this story of justice and standing up against toxic relationships, hit that like button and subscribe for more compelling revenge stories. New videos every day.